Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
What's up, Church by the Glades? Hey, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for logging on. If you're new, my name is Dave, and I'm one of the pastors at CBG. I'm in one of our campuses. We have five physical campuses. This room has 2,000 seats. It feels a little strange. I got nine. I got nine, but nine awesome people in the room. Gonna add a little energy right now, make a little noise right now. Speaking of the idea of noise, with COVID-19 and everything happening in our world, it seems like the problems present so loudly right now. Oh my gosh, the noise is everywhere, no matter where you turn. Television, social media, watch the news. If you watch a talk show, even the commercials right now, all you hear is bad news, and it is so very loud. It's everywhere. You have people losing their jobs, global pandemic, economic meltdowns, shortages, people getting sick, fatalities, all this negative noise. I wish I could share a secret just to make all the noise stop. But I don't know that secret. But I do have some secrets I want to share today. Thank you so much for being here. One great positive thing you're doing right now to help deal with the stress is checking out Church by the Glades. So thank you for doing this. If you're a person of faith, you've embraced some worship and now the Word of God. Those are great antidotes to our stress. But if you're not a person of faith, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you say, I don't know, David, I even believe in God or the Bible. Maybe you'd call me an agnostic or atheist. Hey, brilliant thing you've done. In fact, don't log off because I'm going to show you some time-tested techniques. I want to show you some things. They're from the Bible. But they have worked for generation after generation. And perhaps you don't know, some of the best principles in modern psychology are based on the Bible. In fact, the 12 steps in recovery programs are based on the Word of God. So don't just, you know, stop right now or log off because you're not a Bible person. I'm going to show you some things you can do. If you're dealing with anxiety right now, with stress right now, and we all do, I'm going to show you some techniques that are powerful, that are game changers, that will make a huge difference in your life. So thanks for watching right now. In fact, there are people watching not just all over Florida or the United States, literally people watching all over the world. In fact, we had a staff meeting with our team via Zoom, and we got reports about Easter. Literally, people in every hemisphere of the globe being part of a Church by the Glades worship experience. In fact, without a doubt, we reached more people with the hope of the gospel at Easter weekend than ever before in the history of our church. In fact, probably the history of the global church, biggest reach ever. So all kinds of great things happening with all the negativity around us. I get it. It's tough. I'm so glad you're here. Speaking of people watching online, would you please welcome our digital Amen Corner. Amen Corner. How you guys doing? Glad you're with us. So join the chat, get involved, dialogue some. We have people hosting the chat on the various platforms. Let's study God's word. It's Philippians chapter 4. I picked one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible. In fact, it's my personal favorite. It's so full of victory, optimism, and practical things you can do, especially when you are stressed out. In fact, last week I showed you two amazing verses in this phenomenal chapter. I showed you verses 11 and verse 12. Look at what is promised here in this powerful passage. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret. You see, it's a secret. It's a secret we can learn. This is not just, you know, quoting Bible verses, saying prayers. It's a spiritual technique you can learn to apply when you are stressed out. These are ways you mentally frame your problems. These are techniques you can kind of train yourself emotionally. It's a secret you can learn, and look at the application. The relevance is going to blow you away, and these principles, Paul says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Every. When I say three, please shout the word every. One, two, three.
Every.
God says no matter what's stressing you out, in what part of your life, I got you. You take this secret, you learn it and you apply it. And I don't care if it's your finances or your relationships or a habit or an issue in your future or your past or you're sick right now. In fact, stop. How do you subdivide your life? How do you divvy up your everything? I'm not sure how you classify your life or subdivide your life. Maybe if you had, you know, five components of your life, you might say, okay, I got a relationship part of my life. I'm married. I got kids, or I have friends or coworkers. I got people who like me. I got people who maybe don't like me. I have all these relationships. And I'd say maybe the most important part of life, most valuable part of life, relationships, right? So people you love, people who love you. And then maybe there's a financial component of life, you know, gosh, paying the bills, making the mortgage. Maybe that's what's stressing you out right now. And maybe that relates to your job. Maybe your job, there's a professional part of your life. And then, I don't know, however you divide your life, maybe health, big deal right now. Yeah. And a lot of people are afraid of getting sick. Some people are sick already. So health, oh, as long as I got my health, I can figure out, as long as God keep me healthy. And then maybe There's a religious part of your life. Maybe there's a spiritual part of your life. You know, that's one part of your life. And you're like, hey, God, I'm gonna trust you with the religious part of my life. I'm gonna give you this part right here, God. I wanna trust you completely. God, you got this. After all, isn't that the part of life God's good at?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. This is God's expertise. I give God this. No, God says, guess what? Every area of your life. No matter where the stressor comes from, your health, your job, your finances, your past, your present, your habit, your addiction, your disciplines, your guilt, whatever it is, Paul says, I have learned a secret to be content in every. Now, listen. At our church, we don't like pretense. We don't traffic in platitudes. In fact, we want to be as real and as authentic as we can. See, church is powerful when you let God get personal. And so here's a question. You can add this in the chat if you feel candid enough to do it. When have you stressed out lately? What has stressed you out in this whole, like, quarantine, pandemic, all kinds of options? When have you stressed? Okay, afraid to be honest. I'll go first. I'll be transparent. I told you in past weeks, I don't tend to be a worrier, but sometimes I do. Plenty of times I've stressed in recent weeks. I hate to admit that. I know you're way more spiritual than me, and you just, you know, sing Kumbaya and read the Bible, but sometimes I worry and get anxious and stress. But the worst day for me was my birthday. My birthday was in late March, and anybody had a birthday during the quarantine? Anybody? If you had, put it in the chat if you had a birthday. Anybody in the room? Okay, yes. Me and Pastor Raul, we had birthdays. Birthdays during the quarantine are weird. They're not great. If you want to go to dinner with your friends, you can't go to dinner. If you like a party with a whole bunch of people, you cannot gather. So they're weird. You get a do-over birthday. But mine, it was the worst birthday probably of my life. Why? Not because I missed out on dinner or something. I'm a grown-up. I can handle that. All right, so God has blessed me with an awesome family. I have three great kids. Lisa and I enjoy our kids so much. Would die for any one of those three kids. But my youngest, a couple days before my birthday, got really sick, had a bad ear infection. I mean, like, bad. Now, kids get ear infections, but Lisa's ear got real red and swollen and had all kinds of pain. And we have a great pediatrician, Dr. Tello, and she actually made a house call for us and came by, and she was concerned. She said, this doesn't look like a typical ear infection. She thought it perhaps was something called mastoiditis. It's a bacterial ear infection. And because it's so close to the brain, it's dangerous. He spiked a very high fever. And she said, gosh, typically I'd say take him to the ER right now. But with everything in the pandemic, you know, hospitals are kind of a thing. And so she hesitated. She checked with a colleague. And she called Lisa back because my boy's fever kept getting higher and higher. And she said, you got to take him to Broward General. Take him to the ER. And so on my birthday, and only one parent could go, so we couldn't both go, Lisa took my youngest, and he's my youngest. Love all three of my kids, but he's my fourth grader. We had him a little later in life. We joke, we raise him like he's our grandchild. So he's my soft spot. And so here, and by the way, in preacher world, you know, we've been busy. I know everybody's busy right now. At that point, we were trying to restructure the church for online, all kinds of leadership decisions. I'm doing Fearless Five, you know, 5 days a week. So I'm preparing added content. If you think preachers just work on Sunday, stop that. We work really hard. And so I'd been working really hard. I was fatigued. There's all kinds of pressures from everything else. And my wife and my kid are going to the hospital. And the doctor says they're probably going to keep him for several days to treat this aggressively. I got to be honest. I stressed. I was worried. I was anxious. I was hurting so much. I had the worst. My birthday sucked. Strong word. In fact, I told Zane, you know, that's not really a cuss word, that's a once a month word. I'm going to use it right now. That's my once a month. No other word. I was so worried and stressed. But, you know, the Bible says that's exactly the time you need to apply the secret of Philippians chapter 4. So this is kind of confessional for me today. Let me show you, you know, these verses that can be so helpful at moments like that. Let's back up to verse 4. We covered it last week. It's on the big LED behind me. Check this out. Read the highlighted part. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let's read it together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Get ready. And the
peace.
Oh, good reading. And the peace. Put peace right there in the chat. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I told you, it's a great chapter. So positive, so victorious. Now, the key part of the statement might be that little phrase there in verse 6 where it says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Or in a more modern translation, it says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. And if you're prone to worry, or you're going through a stressful situation, you look at that biblical command and you say, great. Yeah. Don't worry about anything. Awesome. Love to. I'm in. How? God, I'd love to turn off the worry. I mean, I'm so stressed out. I'm so anxious right now. I'm so full of fear. And the Bible tells me just not to worry. That's not much help. And hanging by itself, left alone without context, I would completely agree. But God gives us all kinds of information around the statement in verse 6. And I believe there are some steps, some powerful, proactive, positive steps. And they're all part of the secret. So the first step we learned last week where it says, you know, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. In fact, I use as an illustration from the Old Testament Hebrew scripture, Elijah. I love the story of Elijah. Elijah is one of the great heroes of the faith. God used him in a pivotal way. God does miracles to Elijah. He's obviously very charismatic. He's highly intelligent. He's very talented, and he's troubled. He battled with worry. In fact, he may have been bipolar. He has very high highs and gets very down and depressed at certain times in the narrative of his life. So I think he's a great illustration for this season. But I love in the story of Elijah, God wants to speak to him in his discouragement, in his despair. And God sends all kinds of special effects. I think it's 1 Kings chapter 19. God says, I want to speak to you and encourage you, Elijah. So God sends a hurricane, and then he sends an earthquake. And you recall last week, then a forest fire. But the Bible says God is not in the earth, wind, or the fire. By earth, wind, and fire, reference for old people like me, all right? Just bad dad joke right there. But then God sends a gentle breeze. A whisper of wind. And God speaks to him in the whispering wind. Now, the Bible says exactly why God whispered. But my theory is God whispers because whispers only work when someone comes near. First principle, draw near to God. And God is always near to you. In James, it says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. So the first principle, no matter what I'm going through, even if God feels like he's a million miles away, my God is near. Second principle is based on this passage right here in verse 6. Very important thing we do in verse 6. We need to, when you're worried, number one, recognize God is near. Second step, second to the secret. Here we go. Substitution. I need to make a critical substitution. Hey, when I say three, shout the word substitution. Ready? One, two, three.
Substitution.
A substitution. All right. Ever been benched? Do you play sports? Come on. Do you play sports, high school, college, and you got benched? My sophomore year at Hollywood Hills High School here in Broward County, Florida, I played quarterback my freshman year, but we weren't very good. Our line was terrible, and I got sacked a lot, man. I got beat up. So I thought, you know, Mike Critch, I'm moving to defense. I'm going to defense. And so I switched my sophomore year to safety, played free safety. So during like fall ball, played free safety. During 2-a-days in the summer, free safety. All the practices before the first game, I played free safety, like playing safety. 15 minutes before the first game, the coach says, hey, Hughes, I'm going to move you from free safety to cornerback. Had never played cornerback, but it's a defensive back position. I knew the basics. I thought, that's fine. I'm a team player. I'll go to cornerback. Now, the cornerback does a couple things. On a run play, you want to tackle the ball carrier, and you guard the corner. You guard the edge. You never let the guy get outside of you, right? But I'd never played cornerback before. The other team didn't pass very much. I start getting really aggressive. I'm cheating closer and closer to the line. I'm making some tackles. I'm cheating that edge, and I think I'm great. Third quarter, running back goes right up the middle. I come crashing in. I'm not guarding the corner. He bounces outside. This guy was fast, too. And the runner got the corner on the cornerback. He got the edge. I watched him go 45 yards to the house. Never happened to me again. You know why? Because I went back to safety after that. Never played cornerback again. But man, I felt so bad stepping off the field. I gave up a touchdown. You know, I'm trotting to the sideline and my coach caught me. Now my coach was tough, but he was a good coach. Coach Casey said, Hughes, come over here. Grab me by the face mask and said, Hughes, your responsibility is to guard the corner. Go sit on the bench and think about the mental mistake you made. Think about what you've done. I sat on the bench. I felt so bad. All right. Here's the idea. You're worried. You're stressed out. For me, it was my birthday. My kid, I had reason to be stressed out. My youngest is going to the hospital. The thing, he has to stay several days, treat him aggressively, right? So I had a reason to be worried, but worry never helps anything, right? So maybe another time you worry for me at nighttime, like 2 a.m., I worry. My mind is turning on some kind of negative nonsense, making all this loud noise in my life. So when that happens, bench worry. Put worry on the bench. Say, hey, worry, get over here, worry. Grab worry by the face mask. Say, hey, worry, you are not doing your job. You're not helping me at all. You're making my head ache. You're stressing me out. You're hurting my digestive tract. Worry, you're giving me gas. I might be on my way to an ulcer. You're keeping me up at night, worry. I'm crabby with my family. Because, worry, you go sit on the bench and you think about what you have done. You are bench right now. You're not helping at all. A substitution. A substitution. Now, if all you do is bench worry, that's not enough. Because if all you do is to choose, I'm not going to worry, I'm going to bench worry, guess what? Worry will sit there and watch you and watch you. And the moment you turn your back, he'll creep back into the action. He'll creep back in the game. You got to make a substitution. So when you substitute, you bench one player and you put in a better player. Verse 6 is your substitution. So on the screen again right now, I've highlighted three words. Please read these out loud. Here's what Paul says. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Old school word, but a great word. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So you can make a substitution. I say 1, 2, 3. Oh, wow, I get to substitute 3 players for 1? No, I'll explain that in just a second. But you're going to make a 2-for-1 substitution. Yeah, 2-for-1. You're going to put in 2 players and take out worry. So you're playing ball with 12 men on the field. No one's going to flag you. You're playing basketball and you got 6 women on your team, not 5. And it's cool, right? So you're going to do a 2-for-1 substitution. Now, so you're going to substitute one thing I'm going to show you and then something else that is critical, vital, amazing, powerful, practical. I'll show you next week. Oh, come on, when you log on next week, I know you're going to. Don't worry about it. Don't stress. I'll show you next week. But it's such a critical component. I don't want to shortchange this topic. And by the way, this one is something, if you're not a person of faith, it is so practical. It's not like a Bible thing. If you don't even believe in God, this will work in your life. And by the way, if you're watching right now and you're not a person of faith or a person of Christian faith, brilliant. What's a better time to check out the Christian faith than right now? From the safety, convenience, anonymity of your home to explore the claims of the Bible or the claims of Christ. What a brilliant time to do some spiritual research. Is there a God? ask those great questions. Does God love me? Did he make me? Does this God have a personal plan for my life? If you're not a Christian watching this, sensational. Stay with us. Our church is a safe place all the time to ask hard God questions. Doing your homework, all right? So I'll show you next week something you can do, a two-for-one substitution. But let me show you the first one today. So here's our next step. So step number one, you recall, here's the secret. I'm gonna know that God is near, and then I'm gonna make number two, a vital substitution. First half of the substitution, I'm gonna bench worry, and then put, based on verse six, prayer back in the game. Prayer. The three words, you know, prayer, supplication, and request are all more or less synonyms. It's kind of God saying through his scripture the same thing, right? It's prayer, a request, inviting God into my situation. God, please invade my problem, if you will. So I want God to step into this situation. So the moment I'm worried, I'm going to put in prayer. Now, if you're newer to the faith or maybe newer to prayer, you're like, prayer, I'm not very good at prayer. David, like, I don't know what to pray. How do I talk? What do I even say? I mean, do I have to use, like, you know, fancy religious church jargon? Do I need to pray in King James English? No. If you're new to prayer, I always tell people, you know, God is your heavenly Father. Yeah. If you had a good relationship or have a good relationship with your dad, man, my dad went to heaven a few years ago. My dad, I could talk to my dad about anything. In fact, my dad was a talker. My dad loved to hop on the phone, man. God is a talker. He would love to talk with you. So I always had respect when I talked to my father. But I could talk to my dad about everything, no formality, just candor. So no fancy language, no religious jargon, no King James English required. And then number two, you might say, well, how long do I need to pray? Well, there is a place for brief and passing prayer. You should pray throughout your day. I call them shotgun prayers, since I'm just firing up like brief prayers to heaven all the time. I'm bombing heaven with these brief prayers. But this might be something different. This might be more of a persistent, enduring kind of prayer. Why? I'm speculating here, but God uses three different words for this kind of prayer in verse 6 alone. And then again, let the Bible, anytime there's confusion, let the Bible help you understand the Bible. And so an example of prayer. Well, again, let's look at our boy Elijah, mighty man of God. God used him to turn Israel back to the worship of the true God, did miracles. And the Bible highlights his prayer life. Where? I'll show you actually, though he's an Old Testament Hebrew hero, in the New Testament, the book of James. Now, James is awesome. James is a Hebrew Christian writing to other Jewish Christians. By the way, sidebar, the greatest Christians in the history of our faith have all been Jewish Christians. Judaism and biblical Christianity fit together perfectly. So James is writing to people who believe in Jesus as Messiah, but have a shared tradition with him. So he's looking for an example of prayer, effective prayer, powerful prayer, prayer that makes things happen. And he uses the example of our boy Elijah from 1 Kings. And so he says in James chapter 5, I'll pick it up in verse 16. It's on the screen right here. Get ready to read. It says, the effective prayer. That's what I want. I want my prayer to be effective. I want my prayer to produce results. I want my prayer to replace and substitute for worry in my life. Of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, here's an example, briefly. And Elijah, the spiritual hero, the superstar, was a man with a nature like ours. What the Bible's saying is, wow, he was powerful and he was used greatly and he was highly gifted, but he's just like you and me, flesh and blood. I love the Bible shows its heroes with all their flaws. So Elijah did mighty miracles and suffered with depression, was suicidal at one point, like us. But when he prayed, things happened. Now, the reason I theorize when you're dealing with a stressor, a big stressor in life, that it might be a more intense or enduring kind of prayer is the example used, if you read the rest of this, is when Elijah prayed that it might rain. If you recall last week, there was a 3.5-year drought, caused a famine, got the people's attention, the economy broke down. And Elijah did several miracles. And every time the miracle, stay with me, is an end result of his prayer. He raises a young man from the dead after he prays multiple times. In chapter 18, kind of the great chapter in his story, fire rains from heaven after he prays one time. But stay with me. The latter part, same chapter, chapter 18 of 1 Kings, God has told Elijah, pray for rain. You pray for rain, and Elijah, I promise I will send the rain. So look, he has a word from God, has a promise from God. So you would think, okay, I'm going to pray. God's promised me that it's going to rain. So he prays for rain. What happens? Nothing. Now, I believe it was a high-energy prayer, an effective prayer. Why there in James, that word translated effective prayer is the word in ergo. In ergo, we get the English word energy from it. My thought was, anytime Elijah prayed, it was probably intense. Why? Elijah was an intense dude, man. He was wired up, man. He did everything big. And so, and by the way, back in 1 Kings, when he's praying for rain, it describes the physicality of his prayer. It says he prayed with his head between his knees. So he's hunkered down, or he's probably face down on the ground. And he prays, and God's made him a promise. He prays and nothing happens. Skies are like perfectly blue, not even a fluffy white cloud, much less a dark, ominous rain cloud. And then he prays a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. Won't even check himself. He sends a servant to see if it looks like rain. He prays six times for something God promised, and nothing happens. Wow. Seventh time. Mm-hmm. Praying the same prayer, same God, same promise. This time his servant comes back and reports, hey, there's a cloud in the sky. It's not big, dark, and scary. It's a little puffy cloud about the size of someone's fist. And that's all that Elijah needed to know, that God was going to keep his promise, and God did. And it rained a thunderous downpour of a rain. He persisted. So how long should you pray when you're stressing out at night, or when you're stressing out something's going wrong, or you're afraid of getting sick, or someone is sick, or you've lost your job? How long should you pray? You need to pray until God keeps that promise. You need to pray and persist, keep asking God until God does what he says he will do. And in this passage, he promises what? Peace. A peace that surpasses comprehension. And that's what we're looking for. So when you stress, I'm going to pull worry out of the game the best I can and substitute prayer. And I will keep praying. So my birthday was terrible. I want a do-over my birthday. Not a party or a dinner. It's because my youngest was sick. And I know you'd have been more spiritual than me, and you'd have read Bible verses or something, but I was on the edge of falling apart. I was worried, but I prayed. And I was anxious, but I prayed. I was so stressed, but I prayed. I went to my room and I cried, but I prayed. I came out of my room, and there's Charlie, my oldest, and said, Dad, you want to watch a movie? And I said, yeah, what do you want to watch? He's been wanting me to watch Remember the Titans with Denzel Washington. I've never seen it. I love those kind of movies. We watched that movie, and it was inspiring. I probably cried some more, but I prayed. And then Charlie said, hey, Dad, you hungry? How about pizza? I never eat pizza, you know. What's been your favorite quarantine binge food? I never eat pizza, but man, it was my birthday, and I was stressed out. I was going to stress eat a little bit. So we ordered a double cheese meat lover's pizza from Pizza Time Cafe in Parkland. Charlie picked it up. It weighed like 15 pounds, this massive pizza. Then we ate the pizza, meaning this. Man, I just went for it. I thought, I'm stressed out. We prayed, by the way, thank God for the pizza, and asked God once again to step into our situation with Mom, with Zane at the hospital. And man, we ate it. He grabbed a piece. I grabbed a piece. I grabbed another piece. I ate it all I want. Charlie was kind enough not to mention until the next day. He said, Dad, I came back in for another piece like 30 minutes later, and the pie was gone. Yes, I crushed a whole large meat lover's pizza except for one piece by myself because I was stressed. Man, worry will do that to you. It was the worst birthday I can remember until 6 minutes after my birthday. Because Zane, man, went through all these testing at the ER. The ear specialist thought, yes, it's mastoiditis. And then finally, they put him in a CAT scan to see what was happening, to confirm their diagnosis. And you may not call it a miracle, but I think it was a miracle. They said, guess what? We can't find it. It seems to be just a common inner ear infection. And 6 minutes after 12 on March 25th, Lisa and Zane came walking in the door. We have a God who answers prayer. So if you're battling worry and stress, pull worry. Substitute prayer. Just pray. I worried, but I prayed. Worry did not want to stay on that bench. Worry, how long do you pray? You keep praying till worry gets so discouraged. He's so sick and tired of sitting on the bench that worry unlaces his Nikes and limps to the locker room like the loser he is. I'm going to make a critical substitution. We have a secret. The secret of being content in any and every circumstance. That is God's promise to us. Any and every circumstance. My God is bigger than all these areas, not just the little religious area of my life. You name what you struggle with, and my God will step into your situation. That is his promise. We have the secret. In this season of stress, we have the secret. In this world of worry, we have the secret. In this pandemic of panic, we have the secret. In this quagmire of quarantine, we have the secret. And last thought I'll leave with is this. A secret has credibility based on the one who's sharing the secret. You tracking with me? Like, don't take financial advice from broke people. Right? If I want a personal trainer, I want someone who's ripped, right? I want someone who's jacked, someone who practices with the race. So who shares the secret? So Paul says these amazing things. I've learned to be content in any and every circumstance. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, Philippians chapter 4 might be the most optimistic, positive, victorious chapter in all the Bible. And if you're new to the Word of God, you might go, wow, what good thing was taking place in Paul's life that he's so up? He's so happy. He's so fine. I guess your boy Paul must have got, I don't know, like a raise at work or a promotion or landed a big client or all three or maybe, oh, Paul was a single. Oh, he met a cute girl at church that week, right? The preacher met a holy hottie. Good for Paul. What great thing happened to Paul? If you do a background study, Paul wrote Philippians in this amazing fourth chapter from a Roman prison. We have two prison campuses. I know those are difficult environments for our brothers and sisters, but a Roman prison was something very, very different. You would starve typically. The food they gave you was moldy or spoiled and had to be supplemented by friends or you would die. Speaking of that, the water was contaminated. Dysentery was very, very common. Speaking of dysentery, the hygiene, there's no plumbing whatsoever. The aromas, the smells, everything. And there is no time they specified to release you. They just keep you. And Paul had the threat of a death sentence hanging over his head. Yet he says all these amazing things, including, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. God truly can bless your stress. So in a world where there's so much negative noise that is so loud all the time, oh my gosh, it drowns out my ability to find God's peace. It makes so much noise, the negativity, the economy. I need to make my mortgage, my paycheck, someone is sick. Maybe tomorrow, before you start out your day, before you hop on the news or the TV or social media, maybe you just chill. Maybe Amen Corner, you take a break. Maybe you turn off the noise. Maybe you stop with the internet for a moment. I can be without social media for a time. Maybe you turn off that television. Maybe you close down the laptop and you let God speak to you. He promised you peace.
The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades @PastorDHughes.